Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
It's almost Election Day, Central Ohio, and your voice matters. On Tuesday, November 4th, COTA is making it easier to get to the polls with free rides all day long on all services. No fare, no hassle. Just hop on board on Tuesday, November 4th for an easy way to cast your vote. Whether you're taking the bus, COTA Mainstream, or COTA Plus, your ride is on us. Let's roll to the polls together. Plan your trip on the transit app or at COTA.com.
Welcome to La Liga Weekly. What a performance. No one saw that coming at halftime. Amazing stuff from Leganés in their victory over Celta Vigo. The man of the weekend is a star reborn. Two goals from Dolly Lukebakio. The new boss exceeding expectations. Yes, Diego Martinez ripping it up at Las Palmas. I hope you're not just here for the Clásico, by the way. There's more to football than who can catch each other offside the most. Anyway, well done, Barca. Who was ever worried? An insanely high line against Mbappe and Vinny. Be fine. And Bayern and Real Madrid in the same week, thrash them both. Their flick of the Kool-Aids can do no wrong. Unlike Diego Simeone, who's doing a lot wrong. It'll be fine this week, though. Atleti are in the Copa del Rey away to Vic, a single old man. What can possibly go wrong? Well, with Witzel and Jimenez on current form, I'll give Vic about a 50-50 chance. And we'll have an update on Terry Gibson's Free James campaign. It's working a treat. I suppose we should probably talk about the Clásico, Terry, shouldn't we?
Why not?
All of the Real Madrid fans would say no, gloss over it. What?
I mean, we can't.
It takes a bit of unpicking. It was 4-0. So if anyone you haven't seen it, 4-0 sounds like they've absolutely thrashed them. Second half, but first half, half time, no indication it was going to be 4-0.
No, in fact, I would say the first half, Real Madrid certainly looked the more threatening of the teams. And the narrative at halftime was this defensive high line from Barcelona. Real Madrid, all it needed was a little bit more care in terms of the delivery of the pass, the timing of the pass, and most importantly, the timing of the runs from Mbappe and Vinicius, because they were the threat. So at halftime, it was looking dodgy for Barcelona, I have to be honest. But it... ultimately, it changed with the substitution. Frankie de Jong coming on to replace Fermin Lopez. Two different types of player. Fermin is mainly looking to join up with the attack, make runs into the box, off the ball. Whereas Frankie de Jong coming into midfield allowed Pedri to go a little bit further forward but without playing so high. So it suddenly meant that Barcelona had a domination of midfield. And Frankie de Jong was excellent. Pedri is just back to his best. It's fantastic to watch. And we can't underestimate the importance of Marc Casado, who's just burst onto the scene. We give the pre-season tournaments stick. But what it does do, it forces managers to take young players on tour. The majority of the time, 90% of the clubs, we'd never see those players again. Not that season, anyway. But with Barcelona, every season they take away some of these younger players that we don't know anything about. They do well and they keep them in the squad and they continue to use them. And new players are bursting through at Barcelona and they do get those opportunities in those matches in America. And it serves Barcelona well for that purpose, but none of the other clubs are doing it. They're forced to use them because international players are missing. We don't see them again. They might go out and loan to other clubs. But Barcelona are making the most of them. So I think it was about eight players in the end that came through to Cantera that were playing in that match at some stage. So it was an astonishing performance in the second half. Barcelona were awesome.
Yeah.
Real Madrid were bloody awful, I have to be honest. And at 2-0, when the two quick-fire goals from Lewandowski gave Barcelona control, first one, I'm thinking, oh, they've scored. You know, Barcelona scored. It was slightly because it was early in the second half and because of the narrative of the first half. Then they score again. Then I'm thinking, oh, they've got control of this. Then I'm thinking, no, it's Real Madrid. There's always a comeback from Real Madrid. But there was no sign of a comeback. And to the extent, at 4-0, it could have been 5, it could have been 6. Lewandowski missed a couple of chances you would expect him to tuck away. It could have been even more embarrassing for Real Madrid with the scoreline. They kind of got away with the 4-0 in the end in the second half because there was no resistance from them. They kind of threw the towel in a bit, if I'm being brutally honest, because there was no pattern of play, there was no organisation, no discipline. I get that if you're throwing bodies forward and you're putting extra attacking players on, then it gets untidy and you can get hit on the break. But it's just, there was no hint of a comeback from Real Madrid.
So, right. We didn't predict this. We refused to predict the outcome.
Well, I fancied Real Madrid, or I did say maybe it's a 2-2 draw.
Yeah.
I didn't see a Barcelona completely continue to surpass any expectations I have of them this season. Yeah. I didn't expect this from Barcelona this season. The amount of goals, the style of football they're playing, the success that they are having, nobody did. Barcelona were their usual basket case again in the summer. You know, late transfers, late players registering, young players we didn't know too much about. And you look at Real Madrid and you think, well, they won the Liga last year and they won the Champions League and they've just signed Kylian Mbappe. So it was obvious. And you look at Atletico and you think, well, they just spent 150 million on players. Barcelona, you know, I can't see Barcelona winning it this season. We wasn't alone in thinking that, unless you're a Barcelona supporter. But I think everybody else had realistic expectations of maybe we'll see what Hansi Flick's, you know, what he's capable of. Can he make them competitive? And at the moment...
We were all under-realistic, is that a word? Can I ask you about Real Madrid, though? Like I said, we didn't predict this outcome in this game. I didn't hear anybody say Barcelona are going to thrash them. But you look back with hindsight, some of the criticism that we have levelled at Real Madrid this season, and it sort of fits in that respect. Obviously, the results have been good. They were unbeaten in 42 league games, weren't they, et cetera, et cetera. There was no crisis going on. But they were ragged in games. They hadn't integrated Mbappe in. They hadn't yet worked out what you're going to do. It was all we knew he was coming for ages. And it was always the question, how is it going to work? How is it going to? And no one really had an answer. But we all just assumed, because they're Real Madrid, that they would have an answer and that Carlo Ancelotti would find an answer. And it would seem that sometimes they do have an answer and sometimes they don't have an answer. And there isn't a plan particularly. They're just so good they'll pull it off on loads of occasions.
Totally agree. There's a fine line between figuring it out as you go along, like he did last season, or they look disorganised and they're just making it up as they go along, which kind of, the two things are kind of pretty much the same, to be honest. But I think they get along by figuring it out because Ancelotti is an intelligent manager. The players the football IQ of all the players that play for Real Madrid is extremely high. But when it goes wrong, it looks a mess. And as much as I praise Ancelotti for all the work that he's done at Real Madrid, there are games where you have to you see faults and you see criticisms. And my fault with this one would be, one isn't his fault, but it is a problem. Lucas Vasquez at right back. That's a problem going ahead for Real Madrid now.
Yeah.
And it looks like to alleviate that situation, he's maybe moved Bellingham across to try and protect him. He wanted to play, we keep reading, he wants to play a 4-4-2, and we all expected that was going to be a diamond in midfield, 4-4-2. So a diamond-shaped midfield with Bellingham at the tip. That's not the case. It looks like he wants a midfield quartet that plays the width of the midfield without an obvious wide midfield player. Camavinga was on the left. So it's Tchouaméni, who's been really poor, really below par, but he's kind of got away with it because Real Madrid's of papered over the cracks with his below par performances. Valverde's been immense as usual. Would it have made better sense to have played Valverde as the right side midfield player? Over the weekend, I've been thinking back to that game against Liverpool in the Champions League where we all knew how good he was, but suddenly the rest of Europe found, all the stars at Real Madrid, he was the least well-known, and he had a blinder that night, up and down the right flank. So with this loss of Carvajal, it's causing Ancelotti aggravation, and it just looked to me a way of him trying to alleviate the pressure on Lucas Vazquez as a right back by maybe shifting Bellingham to the right side. And it didn't work. He didn't change things enough. Even when he made the changes, they kept the same shape. I'm seeing Bellingham working hard on the right side of midfield. I looked at the average team shape. He's playing just in front of Militao. So he's tucked in and he's not far ahead of him. His position, average position, is in his own half. And Lucas Vazquez is wider and ahead, quite significantly ahead of him. So no wonder Bellingham was worried, because Vasquez's best form of defence is just to attack and hope that no one puts any pressure on him going forward. Because when you look at his average position, he's not even there. So that's a problem. But I think that the tactics from Ancelotti were wrong. I didn't see the problem other than the offsides with Vinicius and Mbappe. And I don't see a problem with that. Their positional play was good. They made chances. Iñaki Peña was excellent in goal. So I don't see the problem being at the top end of the pitch. And it won't be a problem because they're too good. And I see that the issue being Ancelotti working out of midfield, some balance in midfield, and dealing with the problem of Lucas Vazquez being their only right back.
Right, offside, the offside trap, as it were. It's not really a trap, is it? Because they're just playing a normal offside. They're playing a highlight. Real Madrid caught offside 12 times, which I believe is exactly the same number that they've been caught off the whole rest of the season in La Liga, as in this game. So Barcelona,
Mbappe was eight of them.
Yeah. So why? So obviously the high line allows you to put more pressure on, doesn't it? It forces you to go up the pitch, forces the midfielders up, and then you've got to put pressure on the top end of the pitch to.
So that's a big responsibility for the players ahead. Because the two central defenders in particular, they're the deepest of the defenders normally, so they're the last two to squeeze up. And that's right. That's how it should be. But when you're doing it around the halfway line, that's so much pressure. If there's no pressure on the ball and you're already, your mind is set that we're going to step up and catch them offside, and there's not enough pressure on the ball, and you've got players with the pace of those two, Mbappe and Vinicius, it is a problem. And it should have been more of a problem for Barcelona, but the problem then becomes that the passes are not quick enough from Real Madrid. And maybe, just maybe, you know, Mbappe and Vinicius have to adapt to play against that offside line. Maybe runners from deep as well. So if Bellingham was playing in that central role, maybe he could have made some runs from deep and put himself into a scoring position. So there has to be, the thought process wasn't by any means anywhere near good enough from Real Madrid. I mean, if you're as quick as Mbappe and you're playing against Kubasi and Nigo Martinez, anything I would say over 10 yards is a walk in the park in terms of a sprint for Mbappe. He could give them 2 yards, and over 10, 15 yards, he will overtake them. So why the need to go so early? He's not the only forward that's done it. I was lightning quick. I got caught. It was easier to get caught offside when I was playing, but there's still players now that continually frustrate because they're caught offside. And it just needs a little bit of coaching from Ancelotti and you know, just to make him aware that you are so quick. You don't need to pinch that yard. Bend your run, hold your run, really work hard at making yourself, you know, attacking from an onside position. It's over enthusiastic sometimes. You're too enthusiastic to get in there. You can see an opening and you go, and it's just a fraction too early. There's an element of good luck from Barcelona, to be honest, because although they're playing the offside trap, it's so high. I mean, the goal Mbappe scores that's disallowed, it's a fraction. It wasn't the greatest defensive line. They got away with it. They didn't get away with it against Monaco. I remember one of the goals against Monaco, ball straight down the middle of the pitch. They were defending on the halfway line, ball in over the top, and the striker outstripped them and went through and scored. But on Saturday, things went Barcelona's way.
It's a weird thing, the VAR era, isn't it? I think VAR has been better than it has been. They've eased off a bit. But
well, I noticed there's a big difference with the Premier League and the La Liga with the automated...
Oh, the offside. That's, There was one. I was
It's amateur watching the Premier League now, and you watch.
Oh, how long it takes, man!
All the drawing the lines out. If you listen to a game on the radio, you can hear it. It's no one knows what's going on, and they're saying, "Oh, they're drawing the lines. It must be close." And you're thinking,
"Why can't?" Yeah, but you are still left with this weird fiction where I feel like it's a dream that I watched Killian and
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
It's almost Election Day, Central Ohio, and your voice matters. On Tuesday, November 4th, COTA is making it easier to get to the polls with free rides all day long on all services. No fare, no hassle. Just hop on board on Tuesday, November 4th for an easy way to cast your vote. Whether you're taking the bus, COTA Mainstream, or COTA Plus, your ride is on us. Let's roll to the polls together. Plan your trip on the transit app or at coda.com.
Bappe scored his goal in the Clásico, and the old Bernabeu went mad, and he was celebrated, and he did this, and everyone, hey, brilliant, Mbappe, and all of this. And then you think, did that happen? And that's VAR for you, isn't it? So it is very weird, isn't it?
Well, I guess for the automated one, there's no getting away with it. But during the lines, I still think there's a grey area where you're thinking, is that off? But with the automated one, it's quicker. Everybody trusts it. So there is an element, I think, and I do wonder sometimes, and from a broadcasting point of view, whether you should hold back, but you wonder at that moment of, passion and enthusiasm. But more importantly, I always wonder whether the striker or the person that scored might think that's going to be a close one, and you just tone it down a bit and wait for confirmation before you celebrate. I think personally, I would. I think there might be a time if you thought they're just drawing a line. If I celebrate, it might sway them into making sure the line gets me onside. You can't influence it by your behaviour. So you're just probably best off just waiting a few seconds. And especially when the flag does go up, then it makes me laugh when they'll line up for kickoff.
Yeah.
And then it's disallowed and the ball's thrown back to where the offside was, and the game kicks, the scoreboard changes from 1-0 to back to 0-0. So it is a different way of watching football now.
Can I put another tactical point to you? It's from Darren, one of our Patreons. Thank you, everybody. Patreon.com/LTEL and join our conversation. Right? I don't make it sound like I'm advertising Twitter, doesn't it? Sorry. just that would be nice if you did it. Right. So Darren points out strange similarities to the Clásico of December 2017 at the Bernabeu. It was a Saturday noon just before Christmas, 0-0 halftime. Real Madrid, the better side, yet Barca ran out 3-0 winners that day. Now he makes a tactical point. I'm going to put it to you, Tim. The tactical tweak from Flick at halftime worked a charm. Suddenly, Barca were able to cut Madrid's defence open with passes from midfield to attack on the ground rather than the high balls that both teams were trying in the first half. When Bellingham stopped giving Lucas Vazquez the defensive help he needed on the right side, they were exposed time and again.
Yeah, it's a fantastic point. I mean, the change of Frenkie de Jong changes the dynamic of the game. Pedri goes into the Fermin Lopez role, but he's not playing as high up. So Fermin Lopez was pretty much not involved in too much possession. He touched the ball 19 times. I think Frenkie de Jong is 39. But Frenkie de Jong played central midfield. So Frenkie de Jong played where Pedri was playing in the first half. So then Pedri went further forward and continued to have a lot more touches and influence on the game than Fermin had in that first half. Fermin's all about getting in the box. Fantastic player. And he plays a part in this match, and he will play a part for the rest of the season. And they'd be pleased to have him back from injury. But Pedri is a different. Pedri doesn't want to just keep running into the box. Fermin Lopez is a finisher. When the attack is going, he's bombing on. So I think it clearly does give Barcelona an extra man in midfield, because the gap between De Jong, Pedri and Casado, it wasn't a big gap. So what you had in the first half was a 20-metre gap between the midfield to Pedri and Casado, and Fermin Lopez, who was pretty much playing just off of Lewandowski. So Pedri plays that role different. And yeah, I think there is an element in all games of football as well, where despite most teams now wanting to play out the back and play through the departments of the team, there's still an element of in that first, the first half in some cases, of earning the right to play. So sometimes you are forced into playing longer, maybe forced into, you know, to turn in defenders around with a long ball over the top to try and get their defence to drop off. So if both teams do that, you get the type of game we had in the first half, where Barcelona didn't have an awful lot of possession, but Real Madrid looked more threatening because they had the pace of Mbappe and Vinicius compared to the pace of Lewandowski. So when the style of play changes in the second half, it was astonishing how easy it was for Barcelona to play the way they did. Mm-hmm. And when they do get 2-0 up, they must have been thinking, well, got to be careful, because you know that Real Madrid in this stadium are the comeback kings. But every attack after that, Barcelona picked them apart. And there was no resistance from Real Madrid. There was no change in the way that they were playing. As I said, there was no hint of a comeback. So total domination in the second half from Barcelona, and capitulation from Real Madrid, to be honest.
We need to talk about Lewandowski. It was his first season at Barcelona. He was really good for, you know, for most of it. And then he tailed off towards the end of it. It's probably fair to say. Second season wasn't terrible. It'd be an exaggeration. We were starting to worry.
By his standards.
He was on the decline, and whether his contract was too long, whether he was overpaid, and all of those questions. Is a great, one of the all-time great strikers, though he has been.
Totally.
But this season, 14 goals. He's miles ahead of everybody else. So, obviously, the Hansi Flick style helps him, but he must just be playing better. He must be fitter, revitalised, or is it just tactical stuff?
I think tactical stuff plays a part of it, because I think in last season they played the 4-3-3. At times he was isolated. The two wide players were too wide and the midfield players were too deep. And at times, you know, we're looking at him and thinking he's got to run 30 metres here to close someone down. And he wasn't in love with the idea at the age of 35, 36. When he received the ball, he didn't have a lot of support around him. What we're seeing now is everybody's a lot closer to him. And I also think, I was thinking about this, I think he's come to terms with the fact that this isn't the Barcelona he envisaged when he joined. So maybe he was just pissed off last year that everyone was looking to be sold. Gundogan turns up, then he disappears. And he's probably thinking, when I joined Barcelona, I kind of knew the situation, but I didn't think it was going to be this bad. So the first year he gets by, the enthusiasm and the impetus of moving to a new club. The second season he's playing around, he's in a mix of young players. But in the third season, what I'm seeing him is Rafinha scored and he's on the halfway line talking to Kubasi and explaining Pep style. You know, when Pep goes on the pitch after a game and is coaching a player. So while Rafinha's celebrating his goal, Lewandowski's on the halfway line coaching Kubasi. So it looks to me like he's come to terms now with the fact that they're not going out and signing fellow superstars to join him. He's having to deal with 17-year-olds. He's pretty much playing the under-21s. Him and Iñigo Martínez are playing the under-21s at Barcelona, which wasn't what Lewandowski imagined would happen, but it has. And I think he might have just got used to the situation now, and he's playing a different role at this stage of his career that he probably didn't expect to, and he looks like he's really enjoying it now. Yeah. You know, we saw him. Was it Lamine Yamal last season went to give him a high five?
Yes.
And he got blanked, and he was like, oh, look at him. And that kind of might have said a little thing about Lewandowski being cheesed off about, I didn't expect to be surrounded by kids. You know, he barely knew them before he joined Barcelona. He barely knew them in his first season. And maybe it just wasn't what you expected in his second season. But this season, new manager, he's come to terms with the fact that this is where Barcelona sit. He obviously has faith in the way the manager plays. And he's just, he's full of vigour and he's dynamic. And in fairness, he should have scored four yesterday.
Yeah, two great chances, weren't they?
Yeah.
Just after the second, were they? Yeah, or were they by the side of the second? Yeah.
So no, certainly not through lack of confidence, just lack of focus, maybe, which is unusual for him because players like him that are just goal hungry and, you know, he'd love to have got a hat-trick. He'd be frustrated. They've won 4-0. He's got two goals. They'll be part of him. I promise you that we've been sitting there last night thinking, missed out on a hat-trick in a Clásico.
Yeah, he did. Lamine Yamal, now Darren's, he's gone there. Close control with the left and finish with the right, reminiscent of Messi, very much.
Yes, I think so. Yeah. I mean, we don't want to keep doing that and making the comparison. But it's not only him, it's Rafinha as well. Mm. I mean, when Barcelona didn't sign Nico Williams, I think there was a lot of people, even if he didn't support Barcelona, I thought, oh, that's a shame, because Nico Williams and Lamine Yamal were so good in the European Championships. No one's talking about Nico Williams now, are they? Because Rafinha has just gone to a whole new level. So I think when you talk about the attacking part of Barcelona, we can talk about wonderful individuals. And we talked about in the preview for the game saying, people are looking forward to this Clásico more than they have done in recent years because we'd lost Messi and we'd lost Ronaldo and so many others. All of a sudden, it's all about the new kids on the block, Mbappe and Bellingham and Lamine Yamal and Kubasi, and we've seen, you know, players, Gabby coming back from injury, Pedri's back to his best form. There was a lot of excitement going into this Clásico, but when you look at the three of them, you have to lump them all together, to be honest.
Never seen this happening.
I mean, Lewandowski's got more goals than about half a dozen teams in La Liga.
Yeah.
Between the three of them, I worked it out, they've got 33 and 17 games between the three of them. Rafinha's, I think, got 10 goals in total now, six in La Liga. It's just astonishing what they're doing. The recent weeks, they've smashing teams all over the place.
Yeah. Bayern included. But again, an imperfect performance against Bayern that ended up with them, you know, winning seemingly easily. Are Barca favourites for La Liga now?
Just, I would think. And there was a really good point made on La Liga TV by Albert Ferrer that the drop-off in replacements for any of those three is significant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So while they're on fire, can they maintain that for a whole season?
Yeah.
And if one of them was to get injured, then it could be a whole new ball game. So there's plenty of points to play for. They're in a fantastic position. Is it all over? Of course not. Things can turn around. It's a significant advantage, one that Barcelona and Hansi Flick would be delighted to have.
Yeah.
6 points in week 11.
And the head-to-head.
That's a fantastic advantage. Hmm. But there's still a long way to go.
Yeah. Atleti.
You must mention Iñaki Peña as well.
All right, go on. Yes.
Well, he's come under a little bit of criticism lately that maybe with Chesney turning up, that Chesney was going to be the number one goalkeeper. And you're thinking, what, retired goalkeeper? Ah, but he's only 34.
Yeah.
So there is going to be pressure on him. And he was marvellous because despite Barcelona winning 4-0, he made three or four really good saves when it was one-on-ones, particularly against Mbappe. So Mbappe gets the criticism for missing the chances, but I have to give credit to Iñaki Peña. It's not easy to play for Barcelona in goal. Both teams were trying to chip the goalkeepers when they're halfway line, weren't they? Because both defenders were pushing up high and the goalkeeper has to play as a keeper sweeper.
Mbappe actually should have scored. It's probably too harsh, but it was a good chance, wasn't it, Mbappe?
Yeah.
Basically he overclubbed it, didn't he?
Yeah. So Iñaki Peña, he pulled off some great saves.
Yeah.
So fair play to him. Again, the back four of Barcelona for living on the edge, getting away with it, playing well, keeping a clean sheet. And they'll have to keep going because, again, we talk about injuries. Until they get Araujo back and Christensen back, they are still light at the back as well.
Right. Let's park the Classico there until, what is it, May? Is it May, the next one? Right, it's really, talk, you know, match day 35 or something, isn't it? 34,
That's
35
nice.
or something, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Right. Atletico Madrid, Terry. Bad Champions League. Defeat against Betis in a, and with an awful goal that, you know, they, we've talked a lot about their defensive problems as well. You know, for all the money they've spent, we were concerned that they didn't have the defence right. And it's sort of, you know, it's symbolic that it was Witzel deflecting the ball, that then Jimenez launched himself out, I don't know why, and scored an own goal, and that was it. Other than that, I mean, they had moments in the game, but it's they're looking ragged.
Oh, John, they should have been 5-0 down by half-time. Yeah. Betis can't score a goal to save their life.
Yeah.
They've won this game. They deserve to win this game comfortably. And they've won it through a jammy own goal after 3 minutes.
Yeah.
But they had so many chances, Betis. So they ripped Atletico Madrid apart for about an hour in that game and then panic set him because they were hanging on to a one-goal lead.
Mm.
And Atleti were allowed back in it and they made some, of course, made substitutions, which tried to freshen things up. But for an hour, Atleti just for a wasted a game of football again.
Mm.
And it's described as a back four, but I see it. And I still see a back three. We had Alvarez and Griezmann as the front two today. And it's just drifting away from them. And they look like another team that are making things up as they go along, you know. And they're asking players after the game, is it the amount of changes? Is it the changing the pattern of the team? Is that confusing? No, Koke said, no, it's down to us. I mean, everyone knows what is expected, but they're not producing. And to be 10 points adrift after 11 games, it's not impossible that they come back into the title race, but they can't continue at this rate. They really can't. It's been a dreadful start, to the extent now where you're looking and thinking questions must be being asked. They lost two out of three in the
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
COTA salutes those who served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of COTA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use COTA Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on COTA. Plan your ride and learn more at coda.com/trip planner.
Champions League. This is their first defeat of the season, but they've drawn five. They're not scoring a lot of goals. They're not keeping loads of clean sheets. The defensive record isn't bad in terms of the goals conceded, but they ain't kept too many clean sheets. And when they do, that's the Atletico Madrid we expect. That's when they look at their best. So it does make you wonder whether the questions are being asked. You know, we're chucking money at this. And we don't want to be panicking in the Champions League about qualifying. And we didn't expect to be 10 points off the lead after 11 games. So a lot of that is down to the fact that Barcelona have been, you know, winning every game apart from the game against Osasuna. But to draw five, now lose one, and we're only in week 11, that's a lot of points thrown away. In similar fashion, I have to say, where inconsistent team selection. He has the blessing of being able to rotate, unlike Barcelona and Real Madrid at the moment. But you can see the merits in general, the Clásico being the exception for Real Madrid, but a settled group of players, you can see the merits of that, whereas Atleti don't have a settled group of players. And the miss of Robin Lindelmann just emphasises the fact that with the money they spent, some of it should have been spent on another central defender.
Yeah, yes. Right. We'll move rapidly, reasonably rapidly through the rest of the games, but we should talk about Villarreal because they're actually third, Terry, with a 2-1 win at Valladolid, and and they've got a good manager.
Good manager, bought well, good players. They have belief. They're not playing European football.
Mm.
Good signings. Tiano Barry with the first goal, and one of the signings of the season, Oshie Perez, came off the bench after 70 minutes and scores again. I think it's his sixth goal of the season. He's only played eight games.
Yeah.
So that's a big plus. I mean, they knew he was a good player. We all knew he was a good player, and we knew he was a loss to Betis. Didn't expect this from him. I mean, Gerard Moreno's barely played this season, so he'll make them better when he comes back as well. So, no, fair play to Villarreal. They're performing a lot better than I thought they were going to 2 weeks before the season started. Then in that last week or two, they did sign some players, and it's proved to be exactly the fix that, you know, he needed.
Yeah, and the hierarchy at Villarreal will be very happy, you'd imagine, because they still made a profit, didn't they? For all, they did spend some money. But we were doing the transfer previews, and they were crazily amounts in profit, weren't they?
And the season before as well.
Yeah.
So it was about time they backed the manager. They got a really good manager, and they had to back him. I didn't think it was going to happen, but thankfully for Villarreal, it did. And genuine top four challengers, no doubt about that.
Yes. Right, where to next? Shall we do... Actually, Osasuna are doing really well, aren't they? And Real Sociedad are not, but the Real Sociedad had 75% of possession in this game.
They looked like scoring a goal. They had a million corners and never got one past the near post. You just watched him and you're thinking, there's another manager there that's changing it. Oskarsson comes off at half-time. Taki Kubo goes on, so that's a change. That's not a like-for-like change. And then, they throw him a Sadiq on and the crowd get behind him. Then the first mistake he makes, they're all jeering and booing because he's falling over the ball. He's a frustrating player. You can tell he's a player that's trying so hard to win everyone over. He just needs a coach to say, when we get the ball wide, A, we're going to start crossing it because they're done. Mm. And B, we want you pulling away at the far post. Just like I've said about En-Nesyri in the past. He's running near post. He wants the ball to feet and stuff like that. Just be the focal point. Just get the ball wide, get the ball crossed. And if he doesn't deliver, then bomb him out, sell him.
Mm.
If you want to play Real Sociedad that way and you want to play into his feet, you want him dropping deep and you want him, it's just not going to work. But he could be effective. But Oskarsson could be effective, but his confidence is shattered. So he's played half a game tonight. They're losing 2-0. He gets brought off. So I talked about Simeone being under pressure. I mean, Alcacil must have so much in credit. But that's four defeats in six at home.
Yeah, losing home games is never good, is it?
No.
Keep your job.
Crowd are walking out before the end of the match and getting frustrated. Bizarre refereeing performance where he looked, I thought it was quite funny at the end. When he booked, I think the last one was for Bryce Mendes for the dive. I think it was, he did dive. But it was almost like the referee was fuming when he went across to the screen after being told for the second time in the game, we don't think this is a penalty.
Mm-hmm.
He went across to the second one, and you can see him thinking, fucking players, can't trust them. And he just went straight back out and booked Bryce Mendes. He was fuming. He'd been totally embarrassed twice in about 20 minutes by trusting players who threw themselves to the ground. And when he sees the replay, he's fuming that he's been, he bought it. But it just goes to show how it worked in the past.
Yeah.
So dreadful night for Real Sociedad. But also, you said we talk about Osasuna. The fundamentals are really good. Their home form has always been good. And they look showing signs now of performing well away from home. A reasonably sized squad, but a settled squad. And Brian Zaragoza makes a difference. Mm. Budimir is productive once again this season. The rest of the players are talented and work hard. They're well organised. They appear to be well coached now. So it wasn't a massive surprise to me. They were victors in this game. Going into the match, their waveform is the question mark over Osasuna, but signs have been good lately. And they bounced back well from losing at home to Betis. So it's a marvellous performance from Osasuna. Good atmosphere in that game as well.
Yeah, good. Well, good away section, wasn't there?
Yeah.
So, you know, well, amazing. Amazing what happens. Right, Las Palmas, since we were last doing a podcast for everybody, played 2-1-2. under the new boss.
I kept saying every week I was watching them thinking, they're getting beat 2-1, they're getting beat 1-0 or 3-2. Oh, they're drawing a game and they're nearly half decent. I didn't envisage a manager making such a difference and a win, you know, getting that all important first win, but in tremendous style against Valencia. And then to back it up with a win against Girona as well at home. So it's been a fantastic week for Las Palmas, for Diego Martinez. Let's see how they cope now. I mean, was it 27, 28 games they'd gone without a win in La Liga from last season to this season? It's astonishing what a change of manager can do. Yeah. The thinking of the players is, well, he got the blame. The last one got the blame. We're starting again. It's not our fault. Someone else has come in. Diego Martinez has shown in the past that we all think he could be potentially a really good manager. And it appears that it's a good fit at the moment.
Yeah. Right. Where to next? Right. Well, let's do Rayo 1, Alaves 0.
So I've not seen Hammers.
Yes. It wasn't a game for him, Terry. This one was it? They were down to 10 men from the halfway through the first half.
Could you imagine being that player though? That you're sitting there thinking he doesn't trust me.
Yeah. This bloke. Yeah.
This bloke doesn't trust me. I can't go on.
I'm not even sure what his name is, this manager. Yeah.
He won't trust me to go on with 10 men. And it's just baffling. But Inigo Perez is getting wins and picking up points. So it's going to be a problem, though, because three quarters of the ground are wrapped up in Colombian flags and shirts with hammers on the back. And he's disappeared. It was a big win. But I mean, we joked about the red card. It was in the 22nd minute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a significant amount of time to play with a disadvantage of being down to 10 men.
Yeah.
But Alaves are going through a poor period at the moment. I had high hopes for them. And
we were talking them up.
Well,
a month ago, five straight defeats now.
And they look awful. So it was It's a big win for Rayo. Inigo Perez is doing well. So it's a problem he doesn't want to build up too much, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because whilst they're winning, you can kind of understand it, that it's something that people are not bringing to the forefront. But if they do stop winning, then it's going to be a problem.
Yeah. Yeah, but also it
doesn't
really
need to be there. That problem doesn't need to be there, to be honest.
Yeah, just play him. Play him.
Play him, or at least use him. Yeah. He's trusted for his country. He's played in all the qualifiers, and he's been fantastic for them. And I think he's only had one start.
Mm. Right, where to next? Let's do Getafe 1, Valencia 1. Good result for Valencia, given that they only had one shot on target and two shots in the entire game.
Yeah. I'm a little bit depressed about the way Baraka was going about this, salvaging something this season. It's very negative. Hugo Duro is that player I was talking about, referring to Lewandowski earlier, whereas the centre forward, he's got no one near him.
Great
mentality, puts himself about, works hard. He's not going to score many goals. He's not going to get many touches of the ball. And Valencia seem like, in recent weeks, they've adopted this policy of being quite defensive. They got the 0-0 draw at Leganes, and they were delighted with that. I guess conceding three against Las Palmas in the week and the manner that they did has made them all a bit apprehensive and nervous and gone to Getafe and been ultra-defensive again. So it was a weird game. A couple of reasons. Alan Neum come off the bench. One of the toughest players in the league, I'd suggest. With gloves on. It's 55 degrees. I could understand if it was going to throw Getafe style a few right hooks and maybe. But he came running on with gloves on. I think, well, check the weather in Madrid and Getafe, and it was 55 degrees. So there's no need to wear gloves in those conditions. And the physio of Valencia got booked when they were stretching off Thierry Correa. He had a nasty injury. And for some reason, the physio got a yellow card. I mean, what is the point? The physio is not going to rack up enough yellow cards to get suspended. Does anyone want a physio suspended? That's not really good.
Yeah. That's a good point. What happens then if you...
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
It's almost Election Day, Central Ohio, and your voice matters. On Tuesday, November 4th, COTA is making it easier to get to the polls with free rides all day long on all services. No fare, no hassle. Just hop on board on Tuesday, November 4th for an easy way to cast your vote. Whether you're taking the bus, COTA Mainstream, or COTA Plus, your ride is on us. Let's roll to the polls together. Plan your trip on the transit app or at coda.com.
There's rolling man in anger. Yeah, the sorry. Physio's not allowed on. Sitting in a glass box.
Sorry, he upset the referee last week.
Sitting in a glass box up high up in the stand trying to diagnose an injury from 80 metres away on a microphone. Yeah. So that was bizarre. Hetafe, they probably deserved at least a point. And Aaron Barry with a late penalty did get it.
It was a pen this week as well, wasn't it? We had a different view of the one last week, didn't we? But this was definitely a pen.
Yeah, I think when you run that risk, when you throw yourself in front of a... It's the last... I felt for the player, though. He didn't mean to handball it. He's chucking himself in front of a shot, but his arm is slightly in a different position. It does strike it. And I think it was a penalty and Aaron Barry tucked it away.
Yep.
Gets Valencia in that again.
Two more games. Leganés with a weird victory against Celta Vigo, wasn't it? They did nothing for an hour of the game and won 3-0.
Celta scored six goals all season and then scored three in half a game.
Yeah.
Maybe I quite like Leganés this season. They're not as dull as they were the last time they were in the division because I think they've got better players. So this would be interesting. It gives them a little boost, only a second win. A boost in confidence to see if they can continue. Celta, everybody's won a game now. Everybody's lost a game. Celta need to pull their finger out playing away from home. They've got 13 points. 10 of those have come in the home games. I think they've won one and lost the rest away from home. So that needs a little bit of tinkering now from Claudio Herrera's because it will hold them back if they're useless on the road.
And I gave him the build-up in the intro. Dodi Lukebakio, two goals for Sevilla. Good win for them. Wasn't it important, wasn't it, away to Espanyol?
And very much so, because I've been saying in the last few weeks how I like what I've been seeing from Sevilla in terms of it's forget the old Sevilla. That's not what we're watching now. But they need to be well-drilled. They need to have a good spirit. And they have. Mm. So I was disappointed to see them get smashed by Barcelona without putting up any resistance. So to bounce back in this style, away from home against Espanyol, it's going to be a long season for Espanyol, but we knew that before the season started. But 15 points for Sevilla, 10th position, slightly better off than I thought they would be at this stage.
And that's it for now. Mallorca versus Athletic is the Monday night game. It's actually a good game, isn't it? They're both exactly the same records, so... two teams that have done okay this season. So there we are. That will do for now. Thank you to everybody for listening. Thank you to the Patreons for keeping us in business. Patreon.com/LTEL. And we will be back with more Spanish football soon.
Mobility Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at AbilityChiro.com.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
COTA salutes those who served. Veterans Ride Free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of COTA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use COTA Plus. Veterans Ride Free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on COTA. Plan your ride and learn more at COTA.com/trip planner.